Welcome to the Wahoo Central podcast, which we record every week in the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com. My guest today is Kevin McMullen, the longtime associate head coach of the UVA baseball team. Kevin, I checked. It's been about 18 months since the last time you were the guest here, so glad to have you back.
Well, thank you for having me back, Jeff.
Spring semester starts next Wednesday, which is January the 20th. When does the team get back together, start working out, and start practicing?
We'll do it January 20th, 7 a.m. I have a little bit of a physical fitness test for them to make sure they're taking care of their business at home. 7 a.m., then we got a team meeting at 7:30, and then we start our team workouts in the afternoon.
So get right at it, huh?
Yes, sir.
As everybody knows, at least everybody who would listen to this podcast, Virginia won last year's NCAA title at the College World Series in Omaha. When you look back at that postseason run now, does it still seem incredible the way everything unfolded starting in Lake Elsinore?
Yeah, it was a whirlwind. You know, we were sort of glad when we got sent to California. We obviously had a young team. We had some things that we had to overcome during the year, and we got a fresh start basically in Lake Elsinore. We got to the West Coast. No one really knew us. We had a pretty good plan going in. We had a pretty good idea of the competition level, and we thought that if we could go play good baseball, we would have a chance to get through that regional.
Virginia was a program that got to the NCAA tournament every year, got to super regionals regularly, had been to Omaha. So you were already a team that opponents got up for. Is it possible to be even more of a target now that you've won the national championship than in years past? Or will it be about the same, do you think?
Well, I would think it'd be about the same. We've been on that national scene probably for the last, you know, really since 2009 at the highest level you can be at. We've always been more concerned with what we're doing compared to what's coming in and competing against us. But I think as an opponent, when we were starting our program, when we got into certain places, we paid attention to details a little bit more. We had a better idea. So I think we're at a level now in our program that I think anyone that comes in here that we compete against obviously is going to be up for us. So, and you got to be excited about that. Those are unbelievable opportunities to grow as individual players and as a team that you're going to get everybody's best shot.
The number 1186 is one that the program uses a lot, the distance in miles between here and Omaha. Made no secret that the goal every year is to get back to Omaha. Have you, Brian and Carl, have you talked about the challenge of trying to repeat as champion, or do you just figure focus on this immediate smaller stuff, and if that happens, that happens?
I mean, every year we've never been focused on getting to Omaha. We've been focused on the daily wins and obviously improving on a daily basis and challenging our guys all the time to improve. So if that's in the cards at the end, then we'll worry about that then. But we've not discussed it, you know, and people say, how are you going to defend your national championship? I said, well, how do you defend something you won already?
Yeah.
You know, so it's more about getting better on a daily basis and challenge your guys to keep their blade sharp, because the competition is going to keep theirs sharp.
There has been a serious makeover of the roster since the end of last season. You've added 15 freshmen, I think it is, plus two junior college transfers. How did the fall go as far as integrating the newcomers with your returning players?
Well, those returning players, you could tell that based on their experience last year that they were more adjusted to the level of preparedness on a daily basis that we expect as coaches. I think that they did a wonderful job helping the younger guys obviously assimilate in. Having 17 new players, there's a lot of teaching going on. I think that's one of the things we do as a group. And get excited about is teaching and informing them how to go about their business on a daily basis, all the detail things. And to have those guys that went through that experience last year also be a mouthpiece for us when we're not with our, you know, new young group guys, that they were very, very helpful and allowed to maybe fast forward their development a little
bit. There's a real culture around the program, isn't there, that the veteran players are aware of and how they should conduct themselves, how they go about training, how they go about their daily routines?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you have a staff that's been together as long as we have, there's certain things that we expect. And obviously, it's a hot word right now, culture, and we're conscious of our culture and we pay attention to it, and if it's going in the wrong direction or it needs tweaked, we talk about it, we address the group. But I thought our young players really made adjustments to, from a high school player and travel ball player to college. I think we really did a nice job as the fall progressed.
This time last year, with guys like Josh Spores, Brandon Waddell, and Nathan Kirby back, there were probably more questions about the position players heading into the season than questions about the pitching staff. The situation's kind of flipped this year. Carl has a number of holes to fill, and you have some really nice pieces back in the field, as well as some talented freshmen. What do you think of your group, if you look kind of –
from the position player standpoint, it's you know, we've shared it. It's as much depth as we've had probably since 2010. But, you know, there's really healthy competition going on really from day one with the returning players that are really not an old group with the new players. And it's been healthy. It's fun. It's you can see guys are coming to the ballpark every day with intention to try to improve and compete. And then with the pitching standpoint, we got some good young arms. Obviously, Carl's track record is to get him in the strike zone and hold runners and do all the little things. So we're excited. It's just going to have to be a new crop of guys doing it on the mound for us.
One of your veterans is your shortstop, Danny Pinheiro. Danny was drafted in June. He could have left last summer to pursue a pro career, but he chose to come back. He hit 308 last season and really seemed to be coming into his own at the plate. What does Danny's return mean for the team?
Well, I think that the experience level, he's played in two College World Series championships.
Right.
I think last year was a really good learning curve for Danny. I think he started off really slow, was trying to sort of pace himself for the long haul, and realized that at a certain point, boy, I gotta flip the switch. I gotta do this all the time. So I think it was a great learning experience for him early. I think he really progressed towards the end of the year, played really well for us. Maybe his intentions really did help at the end, but it didn't help in the beginning. So I think he's got a learning curve that he needs to go back after it every day, like he's trying to earn a job. And I think a guy coming back with that experience definitely will help some of these young guys when they need it.
Matt Theiss and Robbie Coleman are back at catcher. Does that allow you to sleep easier at night knowing you have that kind of experience behind the plate? Because some years you go into it and that position's a little bit of a wild card.
Yeah, and like anything, you know, you're one foul tip away from having one catcher. So when you got two guys like that, and we have some other, we have freshman Cam Comer's done a nice job in the fall, and Justin Novak is a guy we recruited 2 years ago out of Japan that has the flexibility to do a lot of different things. So we've had a really nice fall. We had a chance to get Matt a little bit of rest because he caught a lot last spring and obviously a lot in the summertime. So to have those two guys to understand what we do and the communication piece, you definitely can put your head on a pillow on it, not just because of the level of player they are, but the level of people they are as well.
Ernie Clement was a revelation during the NCAA tournament last year. He's a versatile athlete who I guess you could use in a couple of different ways. What do you see as his role?
I would say if we started today, Ernie would probably be our second baseman. He earned that all year last year, came back this fall, had something to prove like he always does. You know, he's a wonderful story. He came here as a camper as a junior in high school and wasn't really strong, or sophomore in high school, wasn't really strong, came back the next year. You could see him really improve, and really in the recruiting process shared with us that I like the way you guys play. I fit in it, and I think I can play here, and sort of recruited us a little bit, and then obviously got our attention. We paid more attention to him, and he's really versatile. He's a team guy. He said, Ernie, 2 days before the start of the season last year, you got to play center field. He said, no problem, I'll try it. You know, I've done a little bit in high school and wherever you need me. And so to have a guy like that with his versatility and his mentality is definitely, definitely impactful for our group.
Two of Ernie's classmates who also played big roles last season were Adam Haseley and Pavin Smith. I know Pavin is coming off Tommy John surgery. How do you see those two being used this season? I guess we can expect Adam to pitch a little more.
Yeah, I think so, just based on our circumstances and obviously how he finished last year. He didn't pitch as much last year as probably he would have because of our injuries position player-wise. So in the back half of the year, it was no surprise to us as coaches how he performed because he's done that all the way through high school and obviously travel baseball. Pavin Smith is coming off Tommy John surgery, doing a heck of a job. He's at full go offensively. He's probably out to 120 feet throwing program right now. Has not had any setbacks. Has worked hard. Has got physically stronger. So, you know, basically by the end of the fall, he was able to compete in games with the bat.
And he played with that elbow last season, right?
Yeah, it was partially torn for the whole year, and we managed it. And he did a nice job. He got to the outfield by the end of the year and gave us some flexibility at different times. So two of those guys had great years as freshmen. Obviously, we'll expect more out of them as far as, you know, helping the younger guys get through things. But those guys experienced pretty well and played as well as you could on the biggest stage.
Would Pavin be more likely to play first base or early in the season, or do you expect his arm to be such that he could play wherever you need him?
Yeah, I think it'd be first base early in the season, and as it progressed, potentially by the back half of the year, maybe in the outfield if it gives us more options to get more offense on the field initially. But I think right now he'd be probably able to play first base.
Your first-year class includes Jake McCarthy. There's a tendency, I think, to assume that one brother is like another brother. Everyone knows about Joe McCarthy, who preceded Jake here. Are they similar athletically, similar personality on the baseball field, or just two guys who have the same last name?
They got two guys that have the same last name. I think Jake has some attributes that are really good. I think he's a little bit better of a base stealer, more so than just a pure fast runner. Joe could really run. Joe was really athletic. Jake is a little bit more of a looser athlete. Joe appears at times rigid, but is really, really accurate with the barrel. Jake's done a nice job in the fall progressing to being just a baseball player as a three-sport guy in high school. So his curve is definitely speeding up a little bit, but they're just two different athletes.
Who was the better high school football player of the two? Because they both put up pretty big numbers.
Yeah, they were both outstanding. Their numbers are – the whole McCarthy family's numbers retired in Scranton, PA. So I'd let that argument go between them, and the old man could probably, you know, old man Joe could probably tell you exactly how it is.
Seems like every time I look out my office window in U-Haul this time of year, I see some of your alumni on the way to or coming back from a workout at the McHugh Center. It's got to be cool for the coaches to have your former players come back the way they do, isn't it? And for you to see them now that they're out of school.
Those are some of the best relationships we have in this business, and to know that they feel comfortable enough and to want to live in Charlottesville, obviously come out and use our facilities. It's one of the best things we've ever did is put that pro player locker room in there and to have access to this. It's rewarding because you know how much they've matured. They've grown. Some of them married, some of them got kids. It's very refreshing to see a guy that came through your program and how they're doing a great job in professional baseball.
I'm sure this is a good problem to have, and it beats the alternative, but with so many guys playing professionally at different levels, is it just physically hard to keep up during the season with who's doing what and where? For you, you got enough on your plate with your own team. If you're trying to keep track of, you know, two dozen guys playing professionally,
yeah.
Does somebody put all that together for you every morning and say this is what they did?
That's your job.
Yeah.
You guys report on all our pro players, but during our season it's difficult. Obviously you can shoot some text messages back and forth, just check on guys. But, you know, we're pretty much consumed during the season with what we have in front of us. And, you know, you get different tidbits from, you know, different people share, hey, listen, look what this Chris Taylor's in the big leagues with the Mariners. John Hicks got traded. So you hear those things. But I think it's, you know, more assessed than the summer when you're in the hot recruiting time and you're sharing different information and you're doing your homework. But from the season standpoint, we're pretty consumed with our team.
Yeah, it might be a good job for your new staff member, Justin Armistead. So you see,
yeah, we'll get Justin
on that.
I got a
little more work for him. You are also the recruiting coordinator. The calendar for recruiting for baseball, as with many college sports, seems to be accelerating all the time, and major programs like Virginia take commitments from players who've barely begun their high school careers. Are you a fan of this development, or is it just kind of the reality and something you have to deal with? Because I'm sure it's not necessarily easy to project how a ninth or tenth grader is going to play and how he's going to look as a college freshman.
Well, it's the landscape you're in right now, and it is reality. I can't say I'm crazy about it, but if you don't get in the boxing match, you're going to get knocked out. So we're doing it. I think we're trying to, you know, go in there a little bit with open eyes and open ears and saying, okay, who fits our profile academically? Sometimes you don't know because they haven't even started high school when you're evaluating them. So a lot of it has to do with gut feel and communication and hit the people that are surrounding that particular player, and is he getting led in the right direction? So I can't say I'm crazy about it, but if you don't get in the mix, someone's going to do it, and we want to stay where we're at, and so we're trying to do it the best way we can.
You've obviously recruited at a high level for years now. Does winning the national championship change and open any doors that weren't open before, or just the fact that you'd been to Omaha? Were you in with the players you wanted to be in with anyway?
Yeah, I think we've pretty much stayed on track how we've done it. Obviously, there's more interest in your program because of the level that you've won at. I think it's very, very smart to open to different ideas, but you can't get too many oars in the water because then the boat goes in too many different directions. So we've pretty much stayed with what's gotten us where we're at. Are we flexible to move a little bit? If there's circumstances and they're great students and you have some sort of relation with either the high school coach or the travel team coach, then you might dip your toe in that water. But we've pretty much stayed on the East Coast and, you know, put our tentacles out for people that maybe attended our camps and that kind of stuff.
I mean, the exposure you get from being in Omaha is that's priceless, isn't it? I mean, you can send out a million letters, but being on ESPN in prime time several times a week, it's got to help a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it helps your brand. You know, when you walk around and they see a V on your chest and you're at an event and say, hey, we saw you guys play in Omaha. We really respect how you guys go about your business and your play. So when you think about the postseason in college baseball, you're basically on television if you're doing well and playing to the last day for a month straight. What great advertisement for your university and your program. Yep. So it definitely has brought attention, and it's free.
Yeah.
It's free. So it definitely helps get you in some doors, but, you know, we've been pretty stable as far as how we've gone about our business.
Weather permitting, and I hope we don't go through a repeat of last year, you're scheduled to open the season February 19th in Myrtle Beach. The home opener is February 23rd, which is a Tuesday against VMI at Davenport Field. Do you still get as excited this time of year for the start of a new season as when you were – a rookie coach just starting out?
Well, I'm a little bit more mature now. I really, really enjoy the preparation part of it as far as getting our team ready to go compete, obviously, on the 19th down at Myrtle Beach. But, you know, the daily process of challenging our guys to be the best is what's most exciting for me as a coach, and it's what I get the most satisfaction out. I think the games, obviously, you got to manage your piece of the game, but they're just a reflection on what you've done on a daily basis. So I do get excited about the preparation and getting guys back in it and more focused on getting away from their home at Christmas time and getting more conscious about their team and their group. So I really, really enjoy the preparation.
All right, last question. Would you have believed, and I probably asked you this last time, would you have believed when you arrived here in the summer of 2003, actually, right? I think it was, because the first season was 2004, so you got here.
I got here.
2003. Would you have believed that you and Brian and Carl would still be together in 2016?
Well, I can't say I would believe it, but I know our goals were, all three of our goals were the same. You know, I remember us meeting, and James Molinari was our volunteer coach, and, you know, we started talking about Omaha. And as a group, we were like, well, are we sending the wrong message to this group? And if we don't get to Omaha, is it a down year? And, you know, we've stayed together, obviously, 13 years. And our goal has never changed. It's to go to Omaha and obviously put yourself in a position consistently to play for, you know, championships. And we've done that in our 13 years here. We've had our differences, but it's never affected. Our final goal was to obviously improve our guys on a daily basis. And when the egos are out the door and you know, you can stay together for 13 years. So it's been really, really rewarding. And, you know, what a fine place to raise your families and all that stuff. So we got here with young families in 03, and
they're getting older.
They're getting a little bit older. You know, we got sophomores and freshmen in high school now, so we're dealing with different enjoyable issues, you know. So it's been great. I'm really, really, really grateful to be here.
Well, thanks again for stopping by today. Good luck this spring. We'll see you out at Davenport before long.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thursday night, the women's basketball team hosts Louisville at JPJ. But what will almost certainly be the only time for the next few months, there are no UVA events scheduled in Charlottesville this weekend. It'll be a different story next weekend, though, so remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules on all our teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.